Good morning, everybody. God bless you wherever you are this morning. Thank you so much for joining us. Hashtag Christian Straight Talk. Wherever you are across the globe, we are live on Twitter at this moment in time. Good morning, Elon. We hope you are well. Thank you for allowing us to speak across your beautiful platform. But wherever you are this morning, may God bless you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. This is Simon and myself, Ben, as we just gather around the scriptures. We just see what God is saying through the Word of God, bringing and looking at everyday life as a believer in Christ, whether you're a man or a woman, just resting and trusting in God. Hashtag Christian Straight Talk. We've got some literature coming out very soon. There's stuff happening all over the place. But God is with you. Never give up wherever you are. Simon, we are up and we are running and we are ready to rumble.
Good morning, world. Good morning, Ben. And yeah, it's so encouraging. Ben.
It really
so
is.
So encouraging to see some of the stuff. You know, them little booklets we've been banging on about. We're getting through them, aren't we? We must have got nearly 1,000 out there already, and it's only been, what, just a couple of weeks, ain't they, Ben?
Just a couple of weeks, yeah, we've got one in our hands at the moment. Look at that, the Gospel of John, sandwiched in between it, for all those that are following us on Twitter that are live with us at the moment. You know, we are just wrapped around the Gospel, and that's what's got me absolutely fascinated, you know, that we are wrapped around, we are the cover of this Gospel of John, but so much more than that, we are grafted in, and that is so scriptural, isn't it? Be wrapped around the Word of God.
Well, it's you know, John 15:5, isn't it? You know, I'm the vine.
Yeah.
You're grafted into the vine. You can do nothing apart from me. And Ben, you look like you're behind either in a spaceship or you're on the decks like you're a DJ or something.
This technology. We've got the laptop up because we're live on Twitter. We've got the podcasting machine recording here, and then we've got an iPad here that I'm just watching the gambling. Oh, sorry. I mean, I'm looking at the scripture because I've put a turf accountant, so I better flip that one off. I won't turn that towards the camera, you know what I mean? I just let everyone see the godly stuff. But on the screen, I'm really on Betfred. The question is, who are you following? What horse are you following?
Well,
because there's a horse coming.
Yeah, mate, there's a horse four coming. Of them coming.
Yeah.
But it is the truth. Who are you following? You know,
who are you following?
Yeah.
Serious question, isn't it? Yeah. And I ask myself, am I following Jesus? And I will say, yes, I am following Jesus. And I love Christ with all my heart. But to follow Jesus is enduring. Is the biggest challenge, as you said not long ago, as a believer, to follow Jesus in work. Imagine and try and think of all the believers now, Christians that are in workplace settings that are so brutal, so arduous in every industry.
Well, Ben, I've got to tell you, you know, I think I did tell you a little bit before, but I've got a mate who works as a firearms officer up in London. I was out with him for a bit of food this week, and there was a couple of us together, and he was saying he gets it all the time, Benny. You know, they know he's a Christian, but, they give it to him large. You know, have you been talking to your imaginary friend Jesus again? You know, and everyone's laughing, and so it's how he deals with that, and you know, bless him, he's...
That's a difficult thing to deal with, really difficult.
Because when he was talking, I could feel the anger rising up, and I thought, mate, you're a better man than me, because you know I'd have probably been, you know, over the coals with a couple of them. You know, that's the way.
And back in trouble.
That's the way we roll, Ben, isn't it?
That's the way we roll. That's the way we roll.
That's the Swanley way.
But we're doing it all in 1 Corinthians. All in love. Everything is done in love. Every punch is done in love. Every gamble, every press on the button on Betfred is done. Lord, if I just win, Lord, I'm going to tithe better. Just for everyone looking, I am not actually on Betfred. Just look at the screen. I'm actually on a biblical text. Yeah. So just let's clear that one up. I don't have a gambling addiction.
What's that? 6-6?
You know what? Living for Jesus as a man or a woman, a young person, whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever culture you're in. I know we have a little bit of banter here, which is good and very healthy because this is real life. Hashtag Christian Straight Talk. But wherever you are, being a believer now in the end times is the hardest thing that you will ever do, is to walk by faith.
It is the hardest thing, Ben. And, you know, people are out there, they're looking for a purpose, they're looking for a challenge, they're looking for something.
Leadership, guidance.
In their life. And Ben, you know, follow Christ. Follow Christ, that'll challenge you. It's a massive challenge to stick. You know, I don't know if you're a churchgoer out there or what, but you might have got a bit of religion. You might have even been baptized, but are you truly following Jesus? That's the question. Have you truly got a relationship with Jesus Christ? And if the answer is I'm not too sure, then get into the Gospels and start reading about his life and start following Jesus.
You've got to follow Jesus, and there's that text, I believe it's in Luke chapter 20:21, and it speaks about when Peter and Christ was in the courtyard together and Peter was sitting around a fire bin, and it says that Peter followed him at a distance. We can't follow Jesus anymore at a distance. We've got to get ourselves close. And the question is, isn't it? Because many people go, well, tell us, how do I follow Jesus close? The only way I can answer that to anybody is literally just read the Word of God.
Yeah, get into the Word
Just get in the Word of God. Yeah. Get to the Word.
Yeah, and you know, a bit of decent fellowship with some other guys and prayer as well, do you know? But is first and foremost is getting on the floor, getting and giving it to the Lord and just saying, Father, you know, thank you for your son and I need him in my life. And then as you said, you know, start off with the Gospels, reading Jesus' life and following Jesus, because he'll lead you. He'll lead you to the Father. He'll lead you to wherever. He'll lead you to love. He'll lead you to wherever you wanted to go.
Amen. He'll take you to a place that you never thought you could get to. And following Christ strips you back. And where the church over generations has really been lacking, we said this earlier, I honestly believe that Billy Graham was the last messenger of heaven. That's the easiest way to put it. I believe that man, now he has gone and I'm seeing what we're seeing, and I look back over preachers and teachers. I know there's been a few dotted around Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones and a few others dotted around the UK. But when you look across the world, I honestly believe when Billy Graham was called home, we have lost as a world the last sounding gong of heaven to preach the gospel. So if you look across the UK, where can we really look to and find a strong spiritual leader that is pressing the gospels like never before? It's very difficult, isn't it? There's a lot of hype. There's a lot of hype and showmanship.
I've got to say amen to that. And, you know, personally, from a personal point of view, you know, I've been looking at quite a lot of the Billy Graham classics, you know, on YouTube. Yeah. It's 27 minutes long, but
powerful man, stuff.
He hits it hard, and he hits the gospel hard
and too, he preaches the gospel and he gives you the truth. And what I love about him, he doesn't leave the pulpit, he's not running backwards and forwards, he ain't got lights behind him, he ain't got all the glitz.
He's not hyping it up, is he? He's not.
He's in a stadium, the wind's blowing, it's raining.
So, there's no music to build it up or anything. It's the gospel. It's just the gospel. It's the Spirit of God speaking through him. And you know, we are today going to go get back into... This doesn't sound right, but you know what I'm saying. We're going to go back and visit the subject of adultery. We're not going to get back into adultery. We're going to visit the subject. But here's the deal, Ben. You know, we've said it many times on this platform, is you can't be 90-95% faithful to your wife, can you? You know, it's either 100% faithful.
It's everything.
Or
it's
not. Everything. So it's the same with Jesus. You've got to be all in. You can't have one foot in the world and one foot in...
No.
It don't work.
Following Jesus. And that keeps coming to my thinking and my pattern, that Peter was in that courtyard. And what's interesting is, who are we sitting down with? I know we're talking about adultery, and we're going into the spiritual adultery and all the stuff that goes along with that, which is really, really important. But when Peter, you've got to be careful you sit down with. When Peter sat down at the fire bin, it says the fire bin was in the centre of the courtyard. Christ was over there, and it was when the rooster crowed. And Peter was asked the question. Peter was asked, you was one of him. You was with him. I see you. Yes, you did. I definitely. So we know the three times. So him denying Christ publicly around the fire bin, that is what we are looking at now. The denial of Jesus.
It's very interesting, Ben, because when Jesus called anyone to him, he did it publicly. He did it in front of
There was nothing. Yeah, you're right. Everything, there was an audience.
There was always people around when he healed the beggar by the pool, when he healed blind Bartimaeus, there was always. So when Peter denied him.
Yeah.
And don't forget, you know, Peter gets a bad rap, but the others were there as well. They ran off as well, didn't they? Some of the other disciples. But he was amongst.
But that's the big thing for today, isn't it? Because we don't intentionally want to deny Jesus. But when your back is against the wall, and I'm going to say it like this, in a workplace, and your mortgage and your life is all hanging on, are you a follower of Jesus? And there's policies coming at you as a Christian, and there is a quality act and everything like that, and everything else goes. But if you start standing up for the gospel in certain business areas and certain obviously big establishments within the UK, the police force, even the NHS and certain big sectors, if you stand up as a believer, there is a possibility that you could.
Well, like my mate in the police force, Ben, you know, for example, he stands up. They come at him, you know. And
so you can understand Peter, can't you? Denial of Peter.
I've been involved.
His back was against the wall.
As an ex-police officer, I've been involved with the Christian Police Association. And when they have meetings, you know, they don't have many people go to the meetings, but they tell me that there are a lot of people that go to church in the police service. So that would encompass men and women, that police officers, also people that work in the offices or whatever. But for them then to stick their hand up and go, I'm a Christian.
Put your head above
very,
the parapet.
Very, very difficult. You know, when I was, seriously, I wasn't a Christian as a police officer, but there were guys in the Christian Police Association who were in this workplace. I wouldn't work with them.
Really?
They were nice guys. Don't get me wrong, lovely fellas, but I wouldn't go out with them, you know.
Of course.
Because, you know, if you got into a bit of trouble, you know.
They're going to give them one John. Jesus loves you.
They're going to give them the old Corinthians 13, aren't they? Whereas, you know, we would rather do an eye for an eye. Whatever.
The Old Testament person has risen up.
Yeah, that's how it was.
That's the fact.
Yeah.
So when you look at this word adultery, it sits in so many brackets. You've got the physical, you've got the mental, and what I'm talking about, you've got the physical, you've got the thinking, you've got the spiritual, you've got the walking away from Jesus. When you look in the gospel, you see this very clear. Christ, doesn't he? I think it's in James, isn't it, where he calls them out, and he says, you're adulterous people. Why does he do that?
Yeah.
It's because they was away from him.
Away from him. And just, we're going to get into that in just a second. But just before we do that, Ben, something came to me this week, and recapping a little bit, and it's you've led into it, really, with the workplace stuff. You know, we are forever hearing people take the Lord's name in vain, aren't we?
Everywhere you go, so many places. The TV, you're out shopping, you're out working, you're wherever you are, you hear that terminology. And I find it fascinating that no one ever goes Muhammad, no one ever goes, brings all these other gods, no one ever brings any Buddha, or no one brings any other name into disrepute, blasphemous language. So if I hear that, what should I do about that?
Well, that's what I was thinking today, you know, because I was up the West End over the week, just the beginning of this week, and I was speaking to someone, and it was a lady, and she was getting excited about something, and she said, Jesus this, Jesus that. And,
whoa.
And for me, it's kind of hit me quite odd. I mean, she knows, she knows that I talk about my faith, but so she didn't stop herself. She didn't put a brake on what she was saying, because it's just natural part of conversation. It's a natural part of people's vocabulary. So what do we do about it? I wanted to ask you this, really. Is it? Do you think it's as bad if we ignore that behaviour?
Do you know what I think that brings me to? Back to that scripture with Peter. because the whole conversation was about Christ. I don't know him. So by Peter walking away and saying, denying him, when I'm in a position like that, I should actually not challenge them in an angry way, but say, just hang on a minute, you're talking about my God. So by me backtracking, could you put me into the bracket of spiritual adultery, of walking away, enmity with God?
Because you don't.
I have partnered with the world. And sometimes, how many people nod their head when someone says that and you're in a crowd? Because a crowd is a very dangerous environment.
It's a powerful place, isn't it? Yeah.
Because Peter sat down with a crowd. So when you look at that word adultery and spiritual adultery, that is what it says in the book of James. Enmity against God. Completely, if you partner with the world, you are committing a spiritual adultery. That's why he says you adulterous generation. So if I sit down with a crowd of work colleagues, if I sit down in a university, if I sit down around a table with people, if I sit down and if I just engage with a crowd and I hear that being blasphemously put, and I don't do anything about that, maybe because of fear, because that's what happened to Peter. What am I going to do if I stand up? Where does that put me?
Where does that put you?
Where does that leave me?
Yeah.
Does it put me like what it says in James? It says in James 4, verses 4 to 5, and it says, Jesus says, you adulterous people, why do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity to God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy to God. My goodness gracious, when you look at that. Or whoever does supposes it is no purpose, that the scripture says he yearns jealousy over the spirit. So you can be born again, you can be filled with the spirit, you can be called, and you can be a real beautiful Christian. But if you are thrown into the arena of the workplace or cultural or life or whatever that is, and we're hearing all this stuff, and it doesn't even need to be just Jesus' name taken in vain and all that sort of stuff, just the language and the environment that we're in.
We have to be careful. So, the word says to be in the world, but not of the world. So if we are suddenly in a conversation where you've got people dropping the F-bomb and whatever, and all of a sudden we join in with that sort of conversation, we're just joining in with the world. We have to be set apart from the world, don't we? We have to be, and it's difficult. So, and like,
it's
now,
very difficult
I can be in someone's conversation. It hurts like mad when they're effing and blinding.
It does.
That's how I used to be, you know. But but now it hurts. But if someone suddenly exclaims, you know, Jesus Christ, that really hurts. But do I check them?
Do I address it?
And how do you address it?
Because if you're in a workplace,
I should address it and I should check them.
But it's a really interesting thing, isn't it? Addressing that, because Peter didn't address. But Jesus said to him, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked that he would sift you as wheat, but I have prayed that your faith will not fail. Now, so Christ knew he was going to fail, not in his faith, but literally in his human skin. I think being a Christian in a worldly environment, again, is the hardest thing that you will ever do.
It's to stand up. It's really tough. And the thing is, if you, you know, there's certain topics you go down that you can be accused as a Christian of hate speech.
Radicalization. Right?
You can, but if someone takes Jesus' name, for me that's hate speech.
It just gets pushed aside, doesn't it? Oh no.
Because it's just part of
it's everywhere.
Of normal vocabulary.
Yeah. Look at that situation in France when they'd done that cartoon drawing.
Oh yeah.
Lives were taken. Lives were taken. If someone's to do a funny drawing of Jesus Christ, it gets sold for millions. It's such a difference.
And there's a complete hypocrisy, really. Mm. And we saw this week, didn't we? I sent you that little thing where a chaplain was told not to wear a little cross in a hospice.
So here we have a chaplain. Chaplaincy, we know what the word chaplain means. We understand the spiritual lead. And you're being told, please take your cross off. What in the world have we come to in this nation? But we are finding that we are having, in the workplace setting, humanist chaplains. You cannot be a chaplain because chaplaincy is about spiritual lead and guidance. A humanist is all for yourself, is all for now, and it is no hope whatsoever. So how, I'll tell you what, we're getting into a real big subject here, because when you're in the workplace, if you are a chaplain, if you are a believer, if you are a spiritual lead in somewhere, and you are being challenged. Look at some of the prisons. Look at some of the prison stuff that's going on about Christianity.
Well, Ben, the last prison I spoke in was just before the lockdown. It was Chelmsford Prison, and I went in with a group of Christian guys there and give a bit of a testimony. And the chaplain there was a pagan, you know. But bless him, he was a lovely fella, and he sat and he listened, and I hope the Lord sort of sowed a few seeds there probably, but I don't want to disrespect him, but what hope can he give anyone? I had these ardent men who were coming up to me who'd spend a lifetime in prison, and they were going, "Oh, get the Jesus thing, I want to turn my life around." Well, through Christ, you can turn your life around.
That's right, yeah.
But through the pagan belief, where's the hope? I don't see it,
because we are into a very dangerous world there, aren't we? Because when you go into paganism and witchcraft and everything, we're going into what we looked at the very beginning, wasn't we? Don't have any other foreign gods. So when you go into all that sort of stuff, we are clearly talking about what it says at the very beginning. You should not have any other foreign gods before me. And the Israelites done that. They was paganistic. They had everything going on. They was an adulterous generation. That is a very interesting time. But when you look at paganism, we look at witchcraft, wizardry, all that, the druids, everything is opposite to God.
Well, so it's coming back to worshiping the planet. It's coming back to putting you in the center. And this week we saw a man brought to trial by the CPS because he was preaching the gospel on the
Jesus
street.
Christ.
And the CPS, which is the Crown Prosecution Service, which is what all the big prosecutions go through, whether they'll say yes or no, but they came out with, we believe there's stuff in the Bible which is not relevant to today. And
so I wonder why they make you swear on the Bible then in the courtroom.
Well, you have a choice, don't you? You do have a choice. You can affirm if you don't. If you're a non-believer, you can. I don't know. I think you can.
Harry Potter.
All that sort of stuff. But what we're going through now, Ben, is a set of commandments.
Yeah.
From God, given in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
Which are as relevant today as they were then, and they will be as relevant in 1,000 years' time, because they're commandments that put God first and put others second, round that we should love each other second.
Put him first. Put him first. Everything. God.
Yeah, God first. And if we just adhered to those commandments, the world would be an amazing place.
Oh.
You wouldn't have to worry about save the planet. You wouldn't have to, because you'd be looking at the Creator. You would, and everything the Creator made, you'd respect, wouldn't you?
Exactly. So the Ten Commandments. No wonder we got this lawlessness. Obviously, we know we're sitting in the end days. We get where we sit as well. So that's very relevant to all the pressures of living and life. And we understand that we're in a fall that happened from the very beginning of time. We get that. So when you look at the calendar of the clock that is ticking regarding end times, the book of Revelation, Thessalonians, everything like that. But I believe this scripture that we're in now, that this when Christ says you're adulterous people or you're adulterous generation, if you are friends with the world, goodness gracious, that's quite a frightening text on its own. If you are friends with the world, you are enmity against God.
Because you're putting
again
world
before So it, you're pointing back to verse 3, aren't you? You should have no other gods before me.
And yeah, because it all interlocks into me, you know.
It flows. All these Ten Commandments flow between each other. You know, they are like rivers.
We are, in adultery, so there's lust going on there. Yeah. And you can lust after, don't just other men and women, you can lust after
things of the world.
And things of the world, yeah.
You're hungry, like if you look at the shopping issue at the moment, the Christmas, commercial Christmas, we got to get. What is the driver of we got to get? We got to get this. We got to have this. We got to have that. The kids have got to have this. Give me. We are in a society that is in it.
Bring to my table
everything. I want everything. Put it on the credit cards. You get in debt for it. Sign up for sofas and this and that. And suddenly you are serving foreign gods.
Well, what's driving that is a lot of things that drive that are we want to have what they've got, or we want us to be like that, or we want to have this. And if you sit there in front of the TV screen and it's thrown at you time and time again.
So what does it feed? It feeds the flesh.
It feeds the flesh. Yeah, totally.
The scripture says each man is drawn away by his own lustful desires. What the flesh craves, the addictive spirit, the very habitual way that we might live. It might be coffee. People will laugh at that. But you can get addicted to coffee, you can get addicted to gambling, you can get addicted to shopping, you can get addicted to trainers.
Just a small thing, Ben, is what do a lot of people say? Oh, I can't start a day without a coffee. Cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Just a small thing.
What we got in here?
Coffee.
But
they do. So instead of getting out of bed and the first thing you do, you get into your
Bible. Please, Lord, help me.
Or get on the floor and into prayer. First thing you do, go down, switch on the TV, grab a cup of coffee.
So we live very habitual, don't we?
We are habitual people.
Very robotic. And we have a set pattern, and we have a set plan, and we have a set way that we do things. So just by living like that, and people will go, that's how our culture lives, that's how we live in the UK, this is how we do that. But when I get in a set pattern and I get in this motion, I'm actually coming away from God without realizing it, because I'm living the way of the world. I'm living to the pattern of the world. The Bible makes it very clear that don't conform to the pattern of the world.
It makes it very clear, Ben, and it also makes it very clear about the condition of the heart. So Jeremiah,
so the inward.
Yeah. So Jeremiah 17:9 says the heart is deceitful above all things. Mark, if you go into the Bible, Jesus said, Mark 7:20, he said, and what comes out of a man, that is what defiles him, far from within. Out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things come from within. Now, you know, if you're not putting God first, these things will creep in.
So that makes me very robotic. It makes me live as the world. That will put me in the bracket of where Jesus says, you adulterous generation, because I'm putting worldly things, and I might not realise that I am putting worldly things before Jesus.
And yet again, Ben, it comes to following the crowd, doesn't it? Rather than the crowd.
So it comes back to the Peter, the fire bin situation.
Yeah, yeah.
And it says that Peter sat down with the crowd and he engaged in their conversation. If I engage in a conversation of the world, the world is driven by Satan. The world is the matrix, the system. It is very satanic. The world is very satanic. It is very dark. Now, if I partner around a fire bin in a conversation, and it's an ungodly, godly conversation, there becomes enmity. Without faith, the Bible says, it is impossible to please God. So there's...
Ben, you've you've hit a real vein there, because you know, the world system is a system,
Antichrist.
Is an evil system under the enemy. So
under Satan, let's not Let's not mess about with this.
We are living in end days.
Well,
listen to what Paul says in Ephesians 2. He says, and you he made alive, who were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath.
There you go. There you are.
Right.
So we can be born again, spirit-filled. We can love Jesus beyond our human understanding. We can do the best we possibly can. But if I get caught round a fire bin with a conversation with people that are not believers, I can be in these scriptures that we're looking at, where Christ could be talking to me now and go, you adulteress, you disown me at the fire bin, Ben. You disown me in your workspace. You disowned me. So that puts enmity, but doesn't affect my salvation. That's what's really important.
This is huge. Let me ask you this thing.
Go on, then.
You know, we know that when we give our lives to Christ, we are born again. We confess our sins, and repent, and God forgets all about them.
Yeah.
So we won't be judged by that. But do you think there'll be a time when we're called to account for the things that we didn't do? The times
I sat around a fire bin, it'll come on the screen of heaven, and Jesus will go, Ben, do you remember when you was in your workplace and you was dressed in your clergy kit and you heard someone in the background blasphemous speaking against me and you walked away? You'd done exactly what Peter done. You disowned me. When the rooster crows, it's got nothing to do with the rooster. The rooster simply was the identifier to say, Peter, when you hear that, you know what I said was true. So it's not the rooster. A lot of people look at that. What was the trigger point is that he sat down with the work crowd. He sat down with the world, and he now, this is really important. Because we got to be careful here, because the people could worry about their salvation. You can't lose your salvation, and I'll tell you why. Because it says in the gospel that we are looking at, that we haven't even flicked the text open to do with Peter. Jesus said, and when you come back, this is important to remember, world. This is really important to remember, brothers and sisters. We can deny Christ in our lifestyle. We can deny Christ in our workplace. We can deny Christ around the fire bin of life. But Jesus prayed and he said, when you come back, feed my brothers and sisters.
Well, that's really coming back to Peter isn't it? You know, he said...
So when you've walked away and you've disowned me...
Feed my sheep, he said.
Feed my sheep. When you come back... Yeah. So Christ knows that there, even though Peter was this great character, and he said before that, I will go to prison and I will die for you. But when your back is up against the wall in the workplace, I would say we have a different understanding.
So how do we deal with it? So, you know,
I don't know.
It's all easy for us to say, isn't it, across these microphones. But I know people that, you know, struggle to tell people they go to church in the workplace.
So when I say I don't know...
How do we deal? I also know people that when someone... might be ranting on using Jesus, because there's a generation out there that really doesn't know Jesus as apart from being a curse word. So, you know, I know people that say, can I stop you there, because Jesus saved you, you know, he's your saviour as well. And so you have to deal with it in a way that we don't come down as this judgmental...
Because there's a way of dealing with it.
There's a way of dealing with it. Because here's the deal, Ben. You know, Jesus tells us, you know, take the plank out of your own eye before you look at the speck in someone else's eye. Yeah. So what we've got here is a person that probably doesn't know Jesus at all. And if we come out being judged...
No, they're around the fire bin.
They're around the fire bin, yeah. So if we come out being this judgmental... it's going to drive them further away. So we have to do it in...
love.
Love. We have to do it in love. It has to be done in love all the time. You know,
100% right.
I wouldn't even...
We don't need to argue for Jesus. What we need
that's a great point.
The Bible says, come, let us reason together.
So what might be a good way of doing that, because, listen, we're up against this all the time, is when that person has finished talking, quietly have a word with them when there's no one else around and go, you know, listen, I'm a Christian and I believe in Jesus. So what you said, you know, and they won't even know. They won't even remember even saying.
No, because it is
so much in the vocabulary.
It's in the dictionary.
If we have a quiet word with them
and
say, you know, listen, this is who I believe Jesus is, and it's really offensive to me, you know. If you wouldn't mind, you know, not using his name. And you will get...
You'll be surprised.
Oh, I'm sorry, and I didn't realise, and whatever.
Yeah.
But
and why are people like that is because, coming back to Exodus 20, the system is anti, and the system has tried and trying to take out the Ten Commandments. If the system embrace the Ten Commandments, people will be educated in what it says. Do not have any other foreign gods.
They're trying to bring in, they are. Yeah,
it's not so much the people, it's the way that the people and we have been brought up in a godless society. So when the Bible says don't partner with the world, we've got to go to work, we've got to pay the bills, we've got to do everything you've got to do, we've got to bring the children up, you've got to live your life for Jesus, and living your life for Jesus means going and being the light. Don't let your light, that fantastic scripture says, let your light shine.
Yeah.
Let your light shine, but how do I let my light shine? Do I got to get in the end of the staff room and preach the gospel? No, I just be the character that God wants me to be. Now, that's a difficult thing on its own. That's another subject. But when you realize who you are in Christ, you will have the faith, not the confidence, because if I'm confident, I'm in my flesh. So I have the faith to say to that person at work or somewhere, do you know what? I'm a believer, and that's triggered me a little bit funny. Do you mind just refraining from using that?
Yeah, lovely.
Is it possible that we could just like...
Yeah.
Because what I've got to be careful of is this spiritual adultery where Christ said, you adulterous generation. If I partner with the matrix and the system, it puts enmity. It doesn't affect my salvation, but what it does, it brings not even a barrier. It creates, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So I can't be in the devil's schemes.
No.
I'm not of the world, but I've got to go into the world.
You've got to be in the world. And do you know what? I've got to tell you, I believe that there's a lot of what you'd call Christian people out there.
Yeah.
And a big survey came out this week, didn't it? For the first time, you know, everything. But people who believe they've got a relationship with Jesus Christ, I don't think, because we're in a generation that really don't get into the Bible as much as what it should do, they don't realise that they are separated from the world. We have to realise that we are, that when we accept Jesus, he came, he died for our sin, and if you were the only person in the world, he would have died for your sin. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And he rose again to save us and accept us as one of his, but he also separated us from the world at that point. We become a citizen of the kingdom and not of the world. So when we kind of realise that, and that puts everything into perspective, then we start to read stuff like Paul wrote in Romans 8, and he said he condemned sin in the flesh, and that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh. So when you accept Jesus, you're not walking according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That's what we're in now. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. So when you're talking about the fire bin again, so around the fire bin again, you've got people that don't know Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. And, so if you equate the fire bin to the coffee machine at work or wherever, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace.
Wow.
Because, as you said, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So
what the world wants to do, it wants to lure you away, even though you're born again. Satan wants to lure you away through workplace, through sitting around a fire bin of people and all that, and lure you away from the teachings of Jesus Christ. Yeah. That's what Satan's goal is to try and pull you away. The fire bin is a powerful place to be. Life itself is so powerful.
Look, the thing is, we do have to be the light. And
let your light shine.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean we have to walk around with the Bible smashing people over the head.
No, because the biggest Bible anyone will read is you.
Is your life. Yeah, is your life.
Your speech. Your attitude, your ways, your kindness, the way you walk into a room, you should walk in like Jesus walked in.
We have to be different in the workplace, don't we? Which means not being part of all the WhatsApp stuff. I know several people that have had to pull out of WhatsApp groups because of the imagery that's going around, the pornographic imagery that people send around these WhatsApp groups.
And they're sent around as in fun and just light-hearted and just all that sort of stuff.
Listen, I was part of all that in the world, but not as a Christian. It's like women in mums groups, you know, have to come out because there's so much gossip going on about different people. We have to be different. And when we are
that's
different...
That's the fire bin.
Yeah, that's the fire bin. So wherever you are, that can equate to the fire bin. And my mate was saying the other day, someone in his youth group, which was really refreshing, a young boy in his youth group, because someone said, well, why does God allow all this to go on? And he said, well, there is a scripture where the wheat and the tares grow together.
Yeah, yeah.
And at some point...
You'll see the wheat and you'll see the chaff.
thrown Cut into down. The burning lake. Well, you know, so... We have to try and advance the kingdom and save as many people, but take it easy.
Yeah.
Don't get all anxious, because God said he'll lead you to places your people will see. You don't have to be the Alpha and the Omega. You just have to be part of God's plan for that particular person or that particular group of people. And if they see the light shining out of you constantly, they're going to say there's something different about you, and they'll come to you, and they will ask you the question, and then you can tell them about Jesus.
But to be the light, in every place of your life, you know. Isn't it interesting that last week was in that really powerful word, adultery? We're in it again today, but it's got so many faces. It's got so many faces. How could you ever bring Peter into that alignment, the denial of Christ? The separation, the vocabulary separation. He went out the courtyard, the scripture says, and he wept bitterly.
Yeah, because he knew what he'd done. And
so
how
your
many
heart
times
knows the right thing, but your lips are making you do something different.
How many times do we come away from conversations thinking,
why did I say that?
I feel dirty.
I feel bad. Why did I react that way? Why did I say that? Why did I do... What I know, it come to that scripture again, didn't it? Where that great evangelist, bigger than any evangelist on this earth, and he said so clearly, why do I do the things I hate and I can't do the things that I know I should do?
Romans 7.
Yeah. So there comes a point in all of our lives where we have fire bin experiences, but there are as many of us that have been brought up sitting at the fire bin and not realising my whole life is around a fire bin.
Well,
and it's challenging.
It's challenging. And the... You know, I don't see that many ex-police officers, but when I do, and they're not out of faith, it's very easy to get drawn into conversations of how things were back then and go down that route, you know. And I come away thinking...
Why did I regurgitate?
Why did I go back there?
Now, what's really interesting now, I know we're running out of time.
Are we?
Do you know what? We're 45 minutes in.
Joking.
No, I ain't. Do you know what I mean? Nah. What's interesting then, what Simon's just brought to the mics there, is that it's easy to get engaged in old conversation when that conversation and that sinful way was nailed to the cross of Calvary. God never remembers that. It's only our carnal mind, and we get engaged in banter, we get engaged in conversation, because the Bible tells us that we are humans and we have failings. But that's where redemption comes in. That's where the power of forgiveness comes in. So we might sit around a fire bin and we might deny Christ by literally not standing up for what we believe in, and we walk away. Even walking away, we might think, well, actually, if I get out of it, I've got away of it. No, actually, because Jesus actually says that there are certain things that we need to confront as believers. You can't run. He says, as they persecuted me, so they will persecute you.
Yeah. He said, in this world you will have trouble.
Oh, Lord.
He said, but take heart, you know.
I have overcome.
And you're right, what we were talking about before we sat down on the mic, so we were talking about every day there's struggles. Every day
there's a struggle. So, at work, at home, in
the
family.
Prayers not take this away from me, Lord, but prayers give me the strength to get through it. Because when we get through these trials and tribulations, yeah. when we get through these struggles, we become stronger in our faith, Ben.
Because when you said he won't take it away, that great writer again writes, three times I pleaded with the Lord that you would remove it from me. And God come back and he said, my grace is sufficient for you.
And an example of that, a visual example of that, Ben, is if imagine that you're in a canoe. I don't know. And you go, it's a lovely sunny day, and all of a sudden you're going down, it's beautiful. And then all of a sudden you see these rocks ahead of you, and you know that you're going to crash into the rocks, don't you? You know, and you call out, God, take the rocks away, take the rocks away, but he doesn't.
He doesn't take the rocks away.
Right at the last minute, what does he do? He raises the level of the river. So
amen.
Which is grace, isn't it?
It's his grace,
and let me float over the top of him.
There is always a way with Jesus, and he will not take the thorn. He will not. I actually think this. Sometimes I might get in a bit of trouble about this, but I believe sometimes Christ presses the thorn a little bit more, that we cry more. God, please take it. No, I'm not going to remove it, because this is here for endurance. Well, this is character building. Character is hope. Hope becomes faith. Faith suddenly takes us to a place of complete trust in him, because that's what it's about. If we kept praying, Christ, remove everything, we would be floating in the middle of nowhere, because everything will be taken. But Jesus says, I will strengthen you through your valley. I will be with you at the fire bin. See, Jesus was at the fire bin with him.
And all of a sudden, we'd start to believe in our own press cuttings and say, I'm so special because Jesus.
Yeah.
No, you're not, mate. You ain't special at all. You need Jesus. And if he takes everything away from us...
What are you left with?
You're not going to need him, are you? Do you know?
You'll have nothing around you. You'd literally have... There'd be you just floating in midair. You'd have nothing because...
Believing in your own nonsense.
Yeah. But the trials of life, the fire bin experiences, are character building. Character is... Christ builds our characters through trials and fires, like Meshach, Shamrach, and Abednego. Their speech, their language, are very clear to King Nebuchadnezzar. We will not bow down to your foreign god. They did not come away from what they believed in.
No, and the Lord looked at God looked after him, didn't he?
All the way through,
big time, and Daniel as well when he was in the lion's den. But I think, if you're in a place right there, right now, that you're in the fight, in the group around the fire, in the group, wherever, and you're hearing stuff going on, and it's not sitting comfortable with you as a Christian, then you're in a good place.
Be encouraged that you feel that.
You feel that. Yeah, please be encouraged. Listen. It's easy for us to sit here. We're in that every single day.
I work in two worldly environments. So I'm not in a church office, you know, just reading the Bible all day long. I'm in the front line of arduous things.
You are.
As a believer. So I actually know what it's like to be in a workplace and understand what it's like to have to go to work and put. I don't get what I get from what everybody sees around here. This is my calling. But God always provides. So that's really important. I am not just sitting in a church office as a vicar waiting for Sunday to roll up. I have two jobs and what I do in Elim Church in Swanley.
You're in it. You're in. You're around the fire bin.
Actually lit the match a few days.
And it's true, because sometimes we let things slide, don't we?
We do, because
I think the more dangerous place is if you say you're a Christian and you're actually loving the things of the world. I think that's a dangerous thing, you know. Sort of 1 Timothy 6:10 tells us, you know, the root of all evil is the love of money. So if you actually call yourself a Christian, but money is driving you, things are driving you, if you're partnered with things of the world, then what I'd ask anyone to do out there is really just appeal to the Holy Spirit. You know, Holy Spirit, is there anything in me that is covetousness? Is there anything in me that...
Very interesting world? What you said, because there's so many scriptures we haven't even flipped open.
I know,
talking about spiritual adultery.
Yeah.
The Old Testament is literally laced with that. The Israelites were really good at that. They were really good at that, coming away from God. But what is so beautiful now is that Jesus sees all, he knows all. He sees our heart. So wherever you are, you know, there's such a massive conversation that just keeps coming on, and it just keeps talking about. We got to land it.
We got to land, yeah. But before we do, just finish off on this. If this helps you out there, you know, John Wimber said this, Ben. He said, John Wimber, who founded the Vineyard denomination. He said this. He said, "Show me where you put your time, your energy, and your money, and I will show you what you worship." Right. So, and I would also add to that screen time on your phone.
Phones and the gadgets. Look, I'm surrounded by electronics.
You know, if I took your phone, right, which is glued to your hand, if I took that phone and went through your search history, what would come up top?
To be honest, I'll show you now. Actually, you'll find scripture. So I'm pretty good like that. But we know what you're saying. Is it football?
Yes, yeah, sport.
Is it sport?
Mine is...
Is it gambling?
My top three on my phone is Arsenal.
Yeah.
BBC Sport.
Yeah.
And Scripture of the Day.
In that order.
Yeah.
So but the internet is a great, powerful thing. The information we can get. But it's, what am I giving more airtime to?
Yeah, personally.
Personally is my
look at
heart.
That. So if we get ourselves right personally, if we get our hearts right personally, if we identify what's going on and we take steps to put that right, then when we're around the fire bin, everything will fall into place. And the Bible tells us this. It said, don't worry about what you've got to say. Don't struggle about it, because I'll give you the words. Just... You know, even if the conversation's going the wrong way, step away. Step away. Simple. Step away. Give you an example very quickly as we come into Lambin. A real good mate of mine, I won't mention his name. He was out on a works trip. He was out in I'm doing the air quotes. Oh. On a works trip out in Thailand.
Oh,
and
Lord.
Obviously, there's a time difference. And he rings me about 7:30 in the morning. He says, "Sam," he said, "I need some prayer." I said, "What's going on?" He said, "Well," he said, "there's six of us, and we've just ended up in his club, and he's going to seal a deal for
a big contract.
A big contract." He said, and all of a sudden, he said, "There's six of the most beautiful Thai women come in, and they've paired off with each of us. He said, "I've just broken away." He said, "I've got a honey prayer. I need prayer right now." Now, the thing is, in the natural, for him to break away would have seemed rude, and they would have lost that contract. So I pray very quickly, just a prayer, "Lord, help us.
Please,
help
God.
Him. Please, Lord, help him." And there and then, the Lord opened a door for him to leave without losing face.
Wow.
So what I'm saying to you, what we're saying, you know,
there's a fire bin.
The Lord
roaring away there.
Yeah, and he married, beautiful wife, lovely kids, and the door was open for it. So what we're saying, you know,
God makes a way.
God makes a way.
God makes a way.
God makes a way.
But every area and issue of life, you go to the wire.
It takes us to the wire.
Every time, everything is at the wire. Everything is wire at the wire. And the world is tired at the moment. The world, humanity is really tired. And
we haven't even come on, Ben.
We haven't even scratched
it. I know we're coming into land, but we haven't even come on to the trust thing here, because it's a massive trust. Yeah. And I related to just a little story this week. You know, I had to get out of the house very early in the morning, about half past six I was leaving, and just before I left, the lock on the front door didn't jam. It wouldn't work. So I got my wife, I got the WD-40 out, I did everything I could, still wasn't working. But I had to go, and she had to go out. So what are we going to do with the door, do you know? So, you know how it is.
I'm gone. Time.
Dog's going berserk. The wife's
chaos.
All over the place. But I'm off. I'm off on the road. On the road, Lord, just...
Please help.
Just that little prayer, Lord, please help. When I suddenly got a... You know, my prayer was, Lord, please release that lock. But I suddenly got a feeling of peace. And then she calls me about 2 o'clock when I'm on my way back. She says, I just had a thought to phone a locksmith. And the first one I phoned was he came and he's replaced the barrel. He said the lock was
on its way.
Was dead. I thought, thank you, Lord. Thank you for that. You know, because he didn't release the lock, but he put in place someone to come and mend it. You know?
You got a new key.
Yeah.
Very
didn't
significant.
Didn't cost much, you know.
Praise
Thank
God.
Goodness.
God always makes a way. There is always a way.
There's a way. Be encouraged. That's what I was saying, Ben.
And it is encouraging. You know, don't keep praying over the lock. God's got a new key for you. You know,
that's a normal other podcast.
It is, isn't it? It's completely, completely there. We are going to touch down, and God bless you wherever you are today, you know. So the question is, what do I do? I just got to follow Jesus.
You got to follow Jesus. Yeah,
it's the Bible, the Bible, the Bible, the Bible, the Bible.
If you're around a fire bin, you know.
We actually salute you, and you know what we mean for that. If you are really up against it, you know, we shake your hand because we know what it's like.
And we pray for you because...
We're all there.
That, you know, God needs people around a fire bin. Yeah. He needs Christians in the workplace.
And it's my reaction... Yeah. Around the fire bin.
It's your reaction, yeah. People are watching you. Yeah.
God will never remove the fire bin because God orchestrated the fire bin for Peter. It was there. It was in the scripture.
Man, but
it's encouraging.
What a changed character. That's one of the biggest changes of character.
We're there. You can find us on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music. You can see us and capture these podcasts all over the place. They are really picking up a lot of pace, so we thank God for everybody that's listening. Any comments, we really would appreciate your comments. But wherever you are today, never give up. There's always hope. Hashtag Christian Straight Talk. Simon and myself this morning, it's just being honest. We just want to be honest to let you know that all is okay. Whatever situation you're in, wherever you are this morning, it's okay because God has you and you won't lose your salvation. God bless every one of you until we see you again in Jesus' name.
Yeah, Amen. Be encouraged because we love you, and never think you're under the hammer because Jesus will make a way. That is the truth.